Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 213 of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm reading from Matt McKay's book, Lessons from the Afterlife. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. Well, I'll be reading from chapter 5, which is titled The Other Side, Landings, Recovery, Review, and this is what Matt has written. The last sunrise illuminates the east. The last day begins. Soon all plans will end. The hope for what the next day brings will end. In the window, a bird sings to no one. It is over, this life. The body's heavy burden is lifted. The last lesson learned or unlearned. Now is the gathering of moments of every choice. We listen to every uttered word, the truth and the deception. Feeling what the words brought, whatever pain or comfort. Now is the gathering of every touch for violence, healing, or love. And now, in the darkness at the end of the last day, the souls arrive who know us. They have been there in 100 lives. Soon we begin again. Life on the other side. On the other side, there is a life. It is a different life. But its purposes are the same, to learn and to love. In that other life, everything that happens serves soul development. From the moment of death to the moment we enter our next incarnation, the life between lives is about supporting each soul's spiritual growth. I have seen through my own journeys and what Jordan tells me in channeled writing, some of what's out there. I have a deep need to know, and Jordan structured this book and our writing sessions to respond to my questions about the spirit world. Much of what follows is based on his answers, which are here in hopes that they can help you with your journey. But you are also encouraged to ask your own questions, through channeled writing, of people you love who are in spirit. Let's start now at the transition to spirit life, where we leave the dark, occluded tunnel and enter the landing place. Landings. Jordan describes it to me this way. The first thing we glimpse in the life between lives are designed especially for us. The purpose of these images is comfort and support for a returning soul. Images are selected that reflect each soul's sense of peace, beauty, and the familiar. Colours and size may be altered to emphasise certain aspects of the scene, serving to calm any distress associated with the recent end of life. In the landing place, a soul notices discontinuities between features on earth and features in the out-of-body experience. The soul may have legs, but not necessarily walk. It feels the environment emotionally, but not physically. The nervous system is gone. The sensory apparatus is gone. In the life between lives, returning souls get used to seeing from a 360-degree perspective. Awareness is vivid and simultaneous in all directions. And they notice that voices are composed not of sound, but of telepathic knowledge. The guides who supervise landings can create the sound of wind or the experience of warmth, from a conjured sun, for example, but this is only done as necessary to ease the transition. Souls returning from other planetary experiences, there are many worlds where souls reincarnate, have totally different landing images that are aligned with expectations from their particular world and what they uniquely might respond to. Basically, the landing is choreographed to provide whatever a soul needs. As a soul begins to settle in and accommodate itself to the landing scene, some of the physical cues are gradually phased out, and the soul is made aware that the images can be turned up or down, like stage lighting. The scene is constructed to resemble a soul's familiar world, such as Earth, but it's made of energy, not matter. In the garden where I landed after the life of the bookbinder, I was struck after a while with the lack of sounds. I noticed still later that the initially vivid colours had begun to fade. Telepathically, I was told that the images were non-physical and ephemeral. Matt asks Jordan, "Who greets us in the landing place?" Jordan replies, "Who meets us depends on what would be most reassuring to the returning soul, what level of distress or damage has been sustained in this past life, and the soul's level of development. Guides usually oversee the landing. They may be the first greeter, or they may drift unnoticed in the background, helping to direct the process. Souls who have sustained deep losses, who need to see someone familiar, or who have yearned for a particular loved one, are likely to see that soul or those souls first. It's also possible that members of a soul group are so eager to see the returning soul that they want to be present. Less advanced or damaged souls may need a lot of soothing and significant transition time with guides or masters. Souls who are prone to anxiety when facing unfamiliar circumstances may be met by loved ones, but the guides hover prominently, radiating peace and reassurance. Some souls arrive at the landing place hallucinating and need to be talked down, in much the same way people are talked through bad LSD trips. Highly distressed or damaged souls may not be met in a landing place at all. Instead, they will go directly to a place of recovery. Advanced souls may also skip the landing place, recognizing that they are discarnate, that they may head directly to their soul group. These souls know the way. They've made this transition so many times, they retain a map, like migrating birds, of the landmarks pointing home. While the pathways are not physical, they are directions made from unique patterns of energy. Instead of turning left at the big tree, the soul takes a path where the energy voltage looks as distinct as a street sign. I've taken several other journeys past death since the first time with Ralph. In each of them, my emotional experience on landing was relief. Fear and uncertainty fell away. It was like a deep, relaxing breath that lifted me from the pain of the last life. In the landing place, I immediately felt reassurance. I am home. I am cared for. Recovery. Matt asks Jordan to tell him more about the recovery process. Not all souls require recovery, but many do, particularly if they have had a difficult life. For those in need, the place of recovery is profoundly quiet, sheltered from telepathic noise. Souls in this place are often still suffering. Less advanced souls may be hallucinating. Without a nervous system, they can create literally any image just by thinking about it. Souls may have unresolved emotions of fear, anger, or shame that would psychically pollute the life between lives if they didn't have the recovery stage to process them. They may also carry traumatic wounds from the previous life or memories of damage done to others bound up in a karmic debt. Some souls may not even know they are dead. Such souls struggle to hold on to physical images and storylines associated with the past life. All this must be healed in a place of recovery. These souls are soothed and bathed in energy that conveys love. It's akin to massage for sore and stressed muscles. And the process continues until the soul takes its first clean breath, parallel to a baby's first breath, and can re-enter discarnate life. Healing masters have a caseload in the place of recovery. They breathe calm into each distressed soul and adjust its energy. They give the soul, telepathically, dreamlike images suggesting that they are awakening and will soon be able to see. These masters may help the soul remember its death as they gently re-guide it through the immediate post-death transition. One recovery strategy is to induce dreams about disembodied states, which support the transition to spirit life. Another is to show, through dreams or directly, new ways to understand disturbing life events. These events, and the surging emotions they trigger, must lose their sting for a soul to hear and to connect in the spirit world. Overwhelming emotions render a soul deaf to most telepathic communication and unable to navigate in the life between lives. Today I was reading from Matt McKay's book, Lessons from the Afterlife. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is on Amazon. It's on paperback, audiobook or Kindle. It's sold over 2,000 copies and has over 50 five-star reviews. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.